VentureCast.
This is where really for us lean management was the game changer, because we saw how Agile completely transformed the engagement of the team. And that's why we're looking for the same magic, not just for our software teams, for the whole organization. And that's what Lean brought us.
Hi, and welcome to Deep Leadership. I'm your host, John Rennie. Well, I hope all is well with you today. It is another beautiful day here in North Carolina, and this episode is brought to you by our sponsors, HabitStack, Ignite Management Services, and Liberty Strength. These sponsors help me bring these shows to you each and every week, so I encourage you to click on their links below and check them out. Also, I want to encourage you to join us on our growing YouTube channel. Search for Deep Leadership on YouTube for videos of all my interviews and exclusive content. Well, that is it. Today, we're going to be talking about how to grow a fast and resilient company using lean principles. And my guests are Catherine Chabarone and Fabrice Bernhard. Catherine and Fabrice join me to talk about the success at Fabrice's company, Theodo. Theodo is a software company which has grown on average 50% a year for the past 8 years and generated over $95 million in turnover in 2022. What's more remarkable is that they have been able to keep their small company vibrant culture alive as they have grown their business. They have done this using lean management principles. So if you were thinking that lean was just for manufacturing companies, you're about to learn something amazing. So are you ready to dive in? Let's get started.
Welcome to Deep Leadership. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former Cold War submarine officer who spent 20 plus years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters. Leadership matters. Are you ready for some real world actionable advice from John as well as his expert guests?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
The show starts right now.
Welcome to the Deep Leadership Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Catherine Chabarone and Fabrice Bernhard. Catherine is a lean management sensei, a master with 40 years of experience, and an author of multiple books and articles on the lean methodology. She helps companies reinvent their culture and foster greater employee engagement in the face of growth. Fabrice co-founded Theodo, a software company, in 2009, which has grown on average 50% a year for the past 8 years, and has generated over $95 million in turnover in 2022. Now, their impressive growth is a testament to their lean management strategy, which is inspired by the Toyota Production System. And I'm excited to have them both on the show to learn how they used lean techniques to get people engaged as they grew their business. So, Catherine and Fabrice, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello, thank you for inviting us.
It is a pleasure to meet the both of you. And my first question is, how did you meet and when did you realize that lean management could help Theodo in their growth, that the fantastic growth that you've had?
Maybe Fabrice, you want to answer that one. I know we met in Japan, but...
Yes, so the story between Catherine and I is actually... quite symbolically started on a lean study tour in Japan. But our story with lean dates from a few years earlier than that. And, to give you really the full background, there was a key moment in our journey where we discovered Agile. Rather, we hadn't discovered Agile for a while. There's really a moment when we finally got it, it clicked, and we were able to do it in a much more radical, much more valuable way for the clients. And that was a game changer for the company, because all of a sudden the teams were more engaged, more autonomous, and we could scale, to more teams. And it made us realize that, you can find ways of working out there that just completely transform the way you work and create more value and actually are more enjoyable. So, of course, the next step was to think, okay, what is the agile that doesn't just apply to a team of software engineers, but it applies to the whole company. So we really come from this agile background. And I was strongly engaged in the agile community and looking, everywhere for answers when I met my first lean coach, Antoine Contal, who told me he had been through a similar journey of being really like impressed by the value of Agile, but also seeing its limits in his context. He was working in a big French telco. And he had then found this thing that was beyond Agile, that was called Lean. And it had really completely seduced him, and he had become a coach. And so that was very, very interesting for us. Of course, very exciting. And so he invited himself, in a way, to do a first go and see at our company. And that go and see was really showed us the power of lean thinking, the way he saw things that we hadn't seen for years, and the way he, like, with small changes already, like, influenced our culture in less than a day. And so we've been on a lean journey ever since, and that was back in 2012, so more than 10 years now.
Mm. And, you know, you mentioned Agile, and you know, a lot of software companies are using that. And so just in your own words, how would you describe how lean is different from Agile, just in your, what you've learned through your journey?
There's many ways you can define lean, but for us, I mean, one definition I like is to say it's a way to embed a learning system into your production system. So compared to Agile, it's much more versatile. It applies to the whole organization, not just to one team. And it doesn't apply Agile when you look at the roots. But first, Agile became popular with a team of software engineers. And when you look a bit, you know, before that, it's inspired by project management techniques for innovative projects. So what I'm saying is Agile is very much for one or two, three teams. That's where it works the best. And for projects, innovation projects, of which, of course, software projects are a really good example. Lean is for the whole organization, whatever your scale.
If I may add a point, Agile was inspired by lean management. Lean management was before Agile, but they picked up a number of things like small batches, run quickly to fail fast and learn from it. But they missed quite a big chunk of the lean management. And probably this is what Fabrice is telling us, is they rediscovered the whole picture. Which is a complete approach for a company.
That makes a lot of sense. Catherine, just, you know, you're an expert in this area. So I thought maybe it might make sense to, because not everybody who's listening in understands lean manufacturing, has been exposed to it. I, you know, fortunately, I've been in manufacturing my whole career, but give us a little rundown of what, like a quick summary of what lean management is and where did it come from?
Lean management was inspired by what we saw of Toyota. Toyota, the car maker. Toyota, just after the Second World War, they needed to catch up very quickly versus the other car makers, the US and German car makers. They were 8 times less productive than they were, less efficient. They had no money, on the other hand. So they had to be very ingenious about how they're going to use the little assets they have to try and catch up on the US and Germany. They had also a strong drive for innovation because the founders of Toyota, they were in the Lumo business before. The founders were very much into innovation, making the frontline people job easier, improvement day after day, and so on. So they were very much into that. They were ingenious people. They wanted to use the little assets they had in an efficient way, and they invented just-in-time, which is basically, I don't push production just in case somebody buys. I push or trigger production when somebody orders. That means less stock, less inventory, less components, less square meters, and on the other hand, high flexibility to be able to change from one batch to the other very quickly because some want red, some want blue, etc. So I have to be able to change what my machines do very quickly. So that all came from that. And then to that, they were also strongly supported by the drive in Japan to improve the quality. They were very inspired by Deming, an American guy that maybe your audience know about. They learned a lot about quality. They even picked up ideas from the training within industry, which was the program to drive manufacturing during the World War II, when they had to get people on board very quickly, since all the men were at war and they had to develop war equipment very quickly. So they used everything they could, and they were very clever at it. And when the oil crisis struck in the mid-70s, they were probably the only ones that were ready for it in terms of being very flexible, being very low cost, being very agile. And everybody looked at them and said, oh my, they have a different approach. We have to learn from them. And this is where lean management comes. And it turned out that it was very manufacturing, but it can be applied to services. And now the reason why we're here is that we are seeing people, companies like Theodore doing it in digital.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, because I've never seen that before. I've always seen lean in a manufacturing type of environment. So it's exciting to see the success that that you've had here at Theodo. So let me ask you, you know, you've had tremendous growth. As a business owner myself, 50% growth per year, that is big growth. And you have a very large team. What are some of the challenges, Fabrice, that you've had to deal with as your company has grown this fast?
Oh, there's so many of them. but if I had to summarize, there's four kind of categories of challenges. I'd say the first one, and that's really because I've got a lean background, but the first one is, as the company grows, the people in the company get more and more disconnected from the value and from the customer. So that's one big challenge. You know, when you're one team, you talk to the customer every day. When you're 700 people, well, there's quite a few people that don't talk to the customers anymore.
Yes.
So that's one. The second one is, of course, you have to put in systems in place, and you have to put rules to avoid mistakes and try to build an organization and not just reinvent yourself all the time. But that means processes, and processes means less autonomy for the teams. And that's usually very disengaging. So you arrive in this company, instead of being able to exercise your creativity, all you're being told is, oh, there's so many rules, follow them first. Then the third one is really on production, quality of production. I think as you grow, your production system, so for example, for us, it's delivering digital products to our clients. The growth in complexity to the point where, you need to have very ingenious ways to deal about them to ensure the quality is still there. But you can't just use, a small team's intuition. And I guess the fourth one is really, the constant frustration that, things you've learned and things you've invented in the process get basically forgotten all the time. Mm-hmm. because of course, when you're growing 50%, it means that at least 50% of your employees are probably new. And that's, not even counting the churn. So there's a few people also leaving every year. So basically you have half the company almost, a third of the company that is completely new and has to relearn everything. So these are for me, really the four challenges of scale.
I could add one also is, as you grow, complexity grows. You said so with the rules, but you also grow silos, because you have to bring in CTOs, CFOs, CIOs, and so on. And they're needed because you need their expertise, but then they tend to work within their silo and not exchange and collaborate anymore. And this is a big challenge for Fabrice and Benoit, the two co-founders of Theodore, is how to have people continue collaboration as if they were only four sitting around the same desk in a garage. You see the point. And now they are separate in big offices and they don't talk to each other so easily.
In different cities.
Or even in different cities.
So that brings a question to my mind, is that what happens with employee engagement when the company gets big, you have silos, everybody has much more of a functional role versus when you're a small team, you wear many hats. How does that affect employee engagement? And then how do you encourage or how do you create an environment where employee engagement still continues even as the company gets bigger? That's one thing that's really interesting to me, because having worked at large companies, I saw that silo effect and people just come in and do their very focused job and they're really not involved so much and they're not engaged as much. And so how do you deal with employee engagement as you grow like this?
Do you want me to? Oh, sorry, Fabrice. Please do.
No, but I guess this is where really for us lean management was the game changer, because we saw how Agile completely transformed the engagement of the team. And that's why we're looking for the same magic, not just for our software teams, for the whole organization. And that's what Lean brought us. And and then very simply, I think key drivers of engagement are, you know, autonomy. Can I exercise my creativity to create value? And, you know, can I learn, you know, what am I growing as a person? And Lean really is about doing exactly that for the benefit of the organization and actually in the more lean way, I should say, for the benefit of the customer. So it's really about, we need to connect to the value for the customer. And that's great for employee engagement, because at least that means the organization has a culture of always reminding everyone what kind of value we're bringing. So, you know, giving meaning to the daily work. Then it's really a learning system. So you're permanently, like, you know, helping people grow. One of the big sayings at Toyota is good thinking for good products. So it's really investing in, you know, people improving their thinking. Part of having such a learning system also means that this makes it much easier for the leadership to allow for failure, because you know that failures will be identified and will be dealt with and will be learning opportunities. So that means a lot more autonomy to the teams.
Yeah.
And I guess I've addressed, like, for me, what are the key drivers of engagement? So Lean has really brought this mix of psychological safety, because I've got this space where I'm allowed to make mistakes and I'm empowered on how to problem solve those mistakes. And I know what I'm doing and why I'm working, and that brings you meaning. And I'm being stretched, because Lean is not, you know, it doesn't leave you in your comfort zone. It brings you in the stretch zone that, you know, brings also more learning and more growth, more personal growth.
And if I may add, when you are stretched and you don't have the competence, you know, this is hell. This is burnout and stress and so on. So this means that they are permanently putting a sort of a tension between challenge and learning, because otherwise it would be impossible to survive in that kind of environment. So there's a lot of time spent on problem solving, but also enabling people. You didn't mention it, Fabrice. You do things like enablers. Let me give you an example. When I was visiting Theodore for the book, I could see that they were working. One of the entities that you have in your group is doing mobile apps. And what's more recurrent than the login features in a mobile app? And every project designing a new mobile app was practically reinventing the wheel when they were doing the login feature. And I know that entity has worked on a standard logging approach so that they can save time and avoid mistakes. So that's part also of the comfort of the people, giving them the conditions in which they can be challenged and they can learn.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Leadership skills are like any other skills. You need to practice them to get better at them. Best-selling leadership author John S. Rennie knows this. That's why he's written a new book called You Have the Watch. It's a guided journal for leaders designed to take you through an entire year of leadership training. By the end of the year, you will master 50 of the most important leadership skills. If you want to have a greater impact on the results and people in your organization, go to youhavethewatch.com and pick up your copy today.
This episode is brought to you by Habit Stack. Effective leaders make a habit of working on important goals no matter how busy they feel. Habit Stack software helps leadership teams build that habit. The system guides you to set crystal clear goals, align your tasks to those goals, and make progress every week. I use Habit Stack and I absolutely love it. It's such an easy tool to use, and I love how it reinforces the right habits with my leadership team. Habit Stack is free to use. It's so simple that you get the hang of it in just 5 minutes. Go to habitstack.com to get started. This episode is brought to you by Ignite Management Services. Ignite is led by Mike Watson, who you might remember from episode 137. Mike and his team believe that everything starts with leadership. Whether it's strategy execution or cultural transformation, it's the role of the leader to create the conditions for their people to succeed. The team at Ignite can help you develop critical habits to enhance your leadership capability and transform your business. Ignite Management is now offering the Resilient Leadership Assessment Tool. This is an online questionnaire designed to assess and guide leadership development, coaching, and team building. It provides leaders an opportunity to gain insights into their leadership strengths and development needs. After taking this assessment, you will receive a custom, detailed report that provides practical and actionable recommendations to enhance your effectiveness. I have taken this assessment myself and found it to be extremely valuable in helping me make changes to my leadership approach. Right now, Ignite is offering 15% off the price of this tool to the Deep Leadership audience. Go to ignitemanagement.ca and enter the code START15 at checkout to get started today. This episode is brought to you by Jeremy Clevenger at Liberty Strength. As a high-performing leader, you know that leadership isn't about telling people what to do. It's about leading by example. And for most people, the one area that they are lacking when it comes to leading by example is their health and fitness. By improving your health and fitness, every other area of your life improves. Your energy skyrockets, your sleep improves, your confidence increases, and more. But how can you get and stay fit as a busy leader? Well, you do what you've always done. You hire the best people for the job. Don't struggle on your own. Put Liberty Strength in your corner. Jeremy and his team will work with you to take your physique, mindset, nutritional habits, and more to the next level with his step-by-step, all-inclusive coaching program. I've worked with Liberty Strength for the past 2 years, and I'm in the best shape of my life, and I'm still hitting strength personal records at 56 years old. If you want to step up your game, reach out to Jeremy at libertystrengthtx.com to find out more and get your initial consultation scheduled with him today.
One of the things I've had a debate, a good friend of mine runs, he's pretty high up in Amazon. And so we had a debate, we were driving somewhere and I was talking about this idea, just like you talked about, which is psychological safety, autonomy, letting people fail, letting people be actively engaged in work. And he said, well, when I build a Amazon facility, I have to hire 5,000 people. And I have to tell those 5,000 people that there's one way of doing it here at Amazon. And this one way is one that we've developed over years at multiple locations. And so he was saying that I really need my employees to follow the rules and they don't, and not to be creative. And I thought to myself that that's like a worse place I'd want to work, is where you can't be creative, you can't bring your human self to work, and you can't push and grow. But I also understand when you hire 5,000 people, you've got to sort of have a way of doing things. Do you? Is that? I don't know if it's just a strange question to you or not. But how do you balance the idea of doing things in a standard way versus having people be creative and be challenged and to continue to push the improvement of your processes?
Fabrice, you want to speak first. I've got some ideas on this one.
If you've got some ideas, you can start, because I think it's a very good question.
It's a tough question, because it's one
It's a very interesting question. It is obvious we have talked about creativity and using brain's creativity, but it's obvious that the first thing Theodore does when they recruit is to put people up to the standards that they have developed. They have developed ways of doing things that enable people to come that come in to do the things right the first time and not learn through all the blunders that the others have made before. So obviously, Lean comes with a lot of standards. The difference is once people have mastered the standards, there are regular discussions about whether the standard still holds the ground. Is it still good, efficient? In this scenario, is it the right one? Can we improve it? Should we change this or that? And that they develop in Theodore a lot of communities of practice. They put people who are doing the same job together, even from different companies, to talk about their job and their techniques and their ideas and their methods and to learn from each other. But basically, they start from standards. Yes, yes, yes.
Yep.
So am I wrong or am I right?
No. I think it's the right answer, and it's a lot of training, because you do want and maybe what your friend at Amazon is saying is, I don't have the time to train 5,000 people, or I don't want to invest in the training, so I prefer to just impose rules. But that probably has a downside in terms of engagement and attractivity. And considering that Amazon is this incredible position where they've, I think at some point they had to hire all of the people they could hire around their warehouses.
Yeah, they do.
It's probably a good time for them to maybe reconsider slightly this. But I'm not too worried for them, because they're a company that has understood lean management a lot at different levels. But in our case, one thing I would say is, this is why we use the word standard a lot, because the difference between a standard and a process is, a process is something you have to follow, even if you don't believe in it. Whereas a standard is a process you need to have been trained on, and that you have the autonomy with your team lead and the rest of the team to improve if you find a way to improve it. So it's a subtle difference, but it makes all the difference between, I'm engaged because I am following the standard, but I know that if I at some point I disagree with it, I can have a discussion now to improve it.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So let me just ask you, you're in the trenches. You've got a company that's growing like this. You've employed lean management successfully to help you with your growth. What have you noticed? What type of leadership skills are needed to be able to, continue to improve your employee engagement as your company grows? Are there special skill sets or training? What do your leaders need to be able to do to be able to continue to get employees engaged as you grow and as new employees come on board?
In the trenches, I think we have a model. And so we're looking for three dimensions. Of course, it's a simplification, but these three dimensions that we found quite interesting. One, and the first one is competence. Actual competence on the job.
Yeah.
That's not obvious. I found this amazing interview from Steve Jobs where he say, at some point they were scaling very fast and they thought, we're going to hire professional managers from outside that don't know the job.
Yeah.
And that was a disaster for them. And so they went the slow and the hard way, which was to convince that they're amazing engineers who didn't want to do the job of managing, say, yeah, but you have to do it, because if it's not you, we have to bring someone from outside who's incompetent. And that's apparently worked incredibly well for them. That's what Steve Jobs says. And, when you see the growth since that interview, it's probably true. So yeah, competence, I think, if you want to create an environment that is engaging and is a learning environment, you need to have somebody who can teach you stuff. So number one trait. Number two is caring. And caring is very important, certainly harder to define and very hard to identify from the top. Because, people can be really caring for the team, but actually be annoying from, the boss point of view.
Yeah.
Or on the opposite, Somebody can be actually very caring for their bosses, but for some reason, you know, less for their teams. And without actually like, you know, bad intention, but you know, just the way they act. So that's why I think in Lean, I mean, that's why in Lean we do a lot of go and sees. We go on the ground because that helps us identify the people dynamics a bit better than if we stayed in our offices. And the third trade it's very much inspired by a book we like very much, Theodore, which is called Nine Lies About Work. And this is the idea that leadership often comes from having a spike. So having a, you know, something very special, very strong about yourself. And so exactly. So I guess the point we're making is we've learned along the years not to look for a well-rounded person, but rather for someone who has like a very strong skill somewhere. And if they have a very strong skill somewhere, they have like some other like lacking skills, but they are able to be caring with their teams and they're competent, then they're probably very good leaders.
If I may add some point from what I've seen or witnessed, because I've witnessed a number of what they call Gemba visits to the field, visit to the workstations. They very much use that formula that was coined by a Toyota leader, and that is go and see, ask why, show respect. It's similar to what Fabrice just told us. They do a lot of go and see. They are very much there because they need permanently as leaders to see where the company stands. It's one thing to develop a strategy or look for growth, but if you don't understand every day where the company stands and where we're stuck and what we still need to learn, you're not going to go very far and you're going to fail in the execution of your beautiful strategy. So they do a lot of go and see. Then don't tell people how to do things. They raise questions. Why do you think it's the normal conditions? Why do you do it this way? Do you think there is another way? Maybe have you seen or talked to this and that guy or that girl? They worked on this before. Maybe they can help, etc. And by doing that, they show respect because they're not imposing their solutions. So bosses and leaders can bring very bad solutions if they are locked in an office, come to the field and believe they remember what they've done 10 years ago and they say, do this.
Yeah.
That can be very dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of really good stuff here. One of the things interesting that you started with competence, because I think that's something as we study leadership and we talk about leadership, a lot of times we get into all the other things around leadership, which are important, but we've got to go back to competence. And, you know, my initial experience in leadership was a naval officer on a nuclear submarine. That's where I started my leadership journey. And when the seas got rough and things got scary, we all looked to the captain to make sure he knew what was going on. Like, we wanted to have confidence that our leader was competent. And I think that seems like I gave a speech this morning about this particular topic. And I started with the idea of competence being a really critical skill for leaders is, you know, you can be a lot of things. A lot of things are important, but I think being competent is got to be number one on the list. Is that, you know, people are looking to you, does this person know what they're doing? Can I follow them? And I love that you started out with the idea of competence being first.
No, Ed, it's interesting because I think it's a very lean value in a way. Because there's this mix of you want to create value for customers. So the idea of having an incompetent leadership, you know, in that when you have that model, seems completely ludicrous. And at the same time, you want to create a learning organization. So who's going to be the teacher if it's, you know, if it's on the leadership, it's complicated.
Mm-hmm. Makes so much sense. What, I mean, as our listeners are hearing this, what's a real important takeaway they should have from your successful experiences at the Odo? What's a good takeaway for our listeners?
Fabrice, you want me to?
Oh, I think what is interesting in your experience, Catherine, is you've seen from like, you know, an outside point of view. So yeah, if you have an idea, I would invite you first.
You complete what I'm saying, but basically what I've seen is that they have demonstrated that in digital, the Toyota production system, which was designed for a manufacturing environment, helps them make money. It helps them make money because they have a customer obsession. You've heard Fabrice talk about value all the time. I don't know how many times he's pronounced the word value, and that's their constant search for value. So they are focused on the customer complete satisfaction to the extent that every week they are discussing with the customers on a questionnaire about the customer's satisfaction on the delivery, the speed, etc. And it's not a net promoter score that they are sending by mail. Right? It's a disc face-to-face or phone on the phone, but discussion with the customer from which they do problem solving. So the customer obsession brings sales and turnover. Second, they are building on the engagement through trust, through working conditions, through developing competence. They're making the job interesting by offering both the standard to start so you don't start from scratch and the opportunity to improve it. And they're creating the challenge with the just-in-time because they use a lot of Kanbans to bring in the customer order into the job. And remember, we said the big risk when you're growing is you lose track of the customers. So the Kanban represent the customers, and it's more than a deliverable. It's value you need to bring, and you can't miss that step. And you know, if you miss it, you know what problem you have to work on. It's this problem now for this customer. So it shows you the right problems. And added to that, the other pillar of the Toyota production system is the help, the management help, the support chain of management, that every time you have a problem, management can step in and help. So those double tension, the tension from the customer, the engagement, the working on the conditions for the people, challenging with the just-in-time. Remember, the few assets make the best of what you have and so on, while helping every time there's something wrong, is the framework that they have in mind. And it gives them permanently the next step. Fabrice, you want to complete my answer?
No, I think it's, you know, I think it's a good answer. And clearly, if somebody was looking for like the silver bullet, that's not what Lean offers. Like, Lean is a journey. We've been on it for 10 years. We knew we still have so much to learn, and you know, we've learned so much every year. But one of the reasons we're here and actually doing this podcast is, I think, because we've been really inspired by your journey, and guess what I want to share is with listeners is there's not like a complete opposition between I'm scaling fast and you know generating profit and I'm engaging people and giving them a you know great environment for personal growth. This is not opposed. It's not easy to combine both, but actually it's possible. And weirdly enough, it even feeds itself because what a Lean strategy allows you to do is really create more scale and a better business because you're creating more value for your customers by investing in the personal growth of your teams. So yeah, if that's, you know, or you, One takeaway is that this is possible, and therefore, if you're interested, you should definitely start looking at it.
Yeah, and problem solving and learning from problem solving helps reduce cost too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not only you make money because you're customer obsessed, but you also reduce cost by avoiding big mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. So if our listeners want to learn more about the success at Toyota, where should they go? Is there a resource they could go and find out more?
Yeah, I'm going to try and show it. Oops.
I see it.
Just in front. We wrote this book. We're three co-authors, all of us interested in how Lean could move to the digital world. And this book is called Learning to Scale at Toyota Group. I guess you will be providing the link to the book, but we try to make it light so that you can see real life backstage stories and at the same time, reflection on how the Toyota production system can be implemented in a digital environment. So it gives you quite a lot of explanations also on the intent between each of the Toyota production system tools. And shows you how combined together it's a system to make money, but another way of making money, not short-term return on investment decisions. Make money for a sustainable growth and something that will last.
That's fantastic. And we're going to go ahead and put a link in the show notes for that, Learning to Scale. It's a great book. If you want to understand how this company did it, how they grew 50% a year, they've grown, they've been successful, they're continuing to grow, their employees are engaged, they're highly profitable. If you want to learn how they did it, here's the book, here's the solution. We're going to put a link in the show notes for that. So I highly recommend you check it out if you're looking to say, well, especially if you're in a high growth industry and you're saying, how do we keep people engaged? How do we keep, our growing our business and being profitable? Well, there's a roadmap, there's a picture, there's a way to do it that's proven. And again, if you want to be successful as a leader, learn from history, learn from the people who have done it before. So I highly encourage you to check this out. The link is in the show notes below. This has been fantastic. How can our listeners find out more about the both of you?
Fabrice?
First, I'm very excited to share my journey. So I will be very happy to engage with anyone who wants to engage with me, either on Twitter. On Twitter, I'm Fabrice B, or on LinkedIn, Fabrice Bernhardt. And we also organize office visits. So whether you're in London or Paris, or in New York, but our office in New York is not the biggest one, then we'd be very happy to invite you to one of our visits.
Fantastic.
And you can find me on LinkedIn, and you can find also my articles, because I do a lot of visits to the field in French company, but my articles are in English, available on the magazine Planet, the Line magazine Planet.
Well, absolutely. I really appreciate that. We're going to put links in the show notes. And again, leaders, if something in this conversation is resonating with you, if you're seeing the journey that they've taken and you say, wow, I really need to learn this and put this in my business, definitely reach out both to Catherine and Fabrice and see what you can learn from it. And again, check out the book, because I think if you're looking for a way and a history and someone to show you the way as to how this can be done, the book is a clear way to do it. Guys, I really appreciate Catherine, Fabrice. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for sharing this incredible story and your journey. And congratulations for all the success. And Catherine, thank you for breaking it down for us in a way that we can all understand it. So thank you for the both of you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you again for inviting us.
Thanks again. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and share so we can continue to build a world with better bosses. Until next time, this is John Rennie saying take care and lead well.
Thank you for listening to Deep Leadership.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information and updates, please visit our website at www.deepleadershippodcast.com or johnsrennie.com. Until next time, take care.
Electric Acid. Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices.
I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric acid.